everyone, Lisa J here, and another episode of No Pins Madness. It's in your ear holes. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yes. Sexy. Okay. And the whole gang has returned. Everybody's here.
What? The death battle is over?
Yes, Spy and I worked it out. We worked it out.
Yes.
Tristan brought a treaty between them. Back on the edge. And we're fine.
All right. All right. I mean, you know, maybe they had to make it up, take a little trip down to Angel Grove, meet up with some cousins. I don't know, but we'll get to that.
Looks like the type of guy that would have a cousin named Zach.
We'll get to that, though. Just in a moment. But first, in our news segment, let's talk about these Beast Morphers. Okay, so
they're filming right now.
They're filming. And I say this every time, but I feel like it is true that this season has been, like, very leaky, right? Like, we're finding out things. And so one of the things that we saw on these on-location shoots, you see, you know, you got your grips and your camera people and your important folks with beaten up hats and, you know, and all the other things. Okay, I see Rory. Okay, right? You know, maybe a
Which
Jackie.
One's the best boy? Which one's the best boy?
Which one's the best boy? I know.
The one with the gaffer's tape.
So, and then you see, what is it? Looks like a beat buster situation over here.
Yeah, I see all three of the regular Raiders.
Oh, right. I see. Yep, I see Jazz. You know what I'm saying? You got Jazz. Yeah, I'm calling about their real name. Jazz. You got Rory. You got Jackie up in there. And then you got this guy, right? Who looks like he's wearing a little yellow. A little yellow.
And he's standing next to Yellow's bro, you know, Beat J Stag, I believe. Beat J Stag.
Yeah.
Boy.
So, people are saying, hey, what's his name? Abraham Rodriguez? Is he a Rodriguez? It was one of them Latinos.
I thought it was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh boy.
Wow.
But yeah, it looks like he could be wearing a morpher on his wrist, possibly.
Yeah, we have to, let's see, can we enhance on this picture? Enhance?
Enhance.
Yeah.
Enhance.
Yeah. This is how computers work, guys.
But the gold one clearer. Wouldn't be, though.
Hmm?
The gold one wouldn't be wearing a morpher, though.
Well, I mean, they gave gold Ninja Steel the same morpher that the other five have. They can change it up if they want to.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I think they'll probably, universalize it and make it so they all have the same morpher.
Or, doesn't have to be the same. Certainly from a, like, merchandising perspective, I would have said make it different.
It'll probably be the same morpher, but they'll recolor it so they can sell it a second time.
Second wave.
Yeah.
I mean, Magnet Offender, you know, in Lost Galaxy got, like, the Dire Ranger... changer.
That's what they did for Samurai, is like how they not Samurai I keep saying Samurai Ninja Steel, they because you know they stopped using the sword as a morpher and they just used the throwing star, and then they gave the Gold Ranger the same throwing star, but they made it gold and they added like a little piece on it, just a tiny little difference, so they could sell it a second time. And so maybe it's one of those things where they're like, we don't want weapons as morphers, and since Gold and Silver have a gun morpher, maybe they don't want that. I don't know. It could be a new thing since they did it with Hasbro. Since they did it with Ninja Steel, you never know, that could be like a new mandate, but maybe they just want to sell it. You know, it's an extra toy to sell, right? If they just recolor the morpher. So,
it's bonus an extra toy. Lame toy to sell. Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I'd certainly rather them go like the titanium route where it's like, okay, I got my own special one.
Like, you want originality from this show in 2018? Ha!
Ha! Yes, Hasbro. Yes, new overlords. Show us what you got.
Well, what they can do is that they give him like a recolored morpher, but then they also just sell his gun as like its own toy.
Exactly, yeah.
You gotta
absolutely.
That's exactly what they'll do.
Yeah, there's no version of this where they don't sell that blaster.
course.
Or at least there shouldn't be, but yeah.
But yeah, there he's standing there. He's got his little yellowish gold jacket. So he's got some glasses on. Looks like he's just chilling. Like, what's up? So yeah, it looks like they're going to do the Go Busters thing and just have Silver be the suit. And that's fine. That's cool.
So. It's going to be real, egg on her face when he's just happening to wear that color and he's not the Ranger at all.
Oh.
Because everybody was like, oh, it's confirmed. I'm like, okay, it probably is, but it's not confirmed.
But you have to put that in big bold letters. Confirmed.
Confirmed? Question mark?
Well, I mean, when was the last fake out for a Ranger? When was the last, like, ooh, it might be this person, but it's not?
I mean, I remember, like, some seasons people would be like, oh, this person is definitely, like, I remember during RPM, somebody was like, this is the Yellow Ranger. And it's like, no, it's just a random extra. They were just on the show.
No, but I mean, what
fake
I'm talking about is,
on
like,
the show or on,
like, I mean, like,
social media?
Because not social media. I mean, like, actual, like, we're seeing this person, he's wearing yellow. Okay. They don't normally put.
Yeah,
actors in colors on purpose unless they want to be like, hey, yo, Richie, try some red. Go ahead. You know what? What's his name? Zach's cousin. You know what Zach's Curtis. Cousin? Actual cousin. You know Zach's actual cousin?
Curtis.
Yes, you know Curtis. Some black, just in case. You know what I'm saying?
Or I remember people being like, no, Kelly is the Green Samurai Ranger. Seriously, she wore green ones. Come on.
Oh, God, you're right. That was a thing for a long time. Oh, boy. Oh, early days of Ranger Board. You were a gift.
So, you know, and then like with the whole Gold Ranger saga, I mean, they were really trying to like, ooh, who could the Gold Ranger be? So that was something that was part of the show. That was part of the plot, right?
Ninja Steel. Yeah, with Uncle Tom. They had him.
Oh, yes. That's right. Yes.
Black dude.
Well, Ninja Steel does have a history of faking us out with Yellow Rangers, so.
That's right.
Tis true. Tis true. So, yeah, I think that. So Ninja Steel, right? Like, you know, they were. That was integral to the plot, but it wasn't like, hey, you're going to wear this color all the time now and you're going to blah, blah. You know, it was like. Odious is like, hey, infiltrate.
What if just all of the supporting characters all have gold on like their uniforms or something? So it's all like, who's it gonna be?
I mean, that would require the people behind this to, you know, put forward a concerted effort. And it doesn't really seem to be, you know, the thing they like to do nowadays. So
yeah, speaking of effort, so we haven't we as in a couple of us have not been watching Ninja Steel, and I'm actually gonna have to catch up because, you know, like it's about to end, so I have to catch up. But
get all that plot dump.
So but there was this past episode that aired on November 3rd. Yes. I don't even want to talk about it, but there's this one line that I do want to talk about.
Mm-hmm. I remember watching the episode, being like, you know, taking my notes, being like, all right, what am I going to talk about this week? And then something happens where it's not integral to the plot. It's not like a big deal. There's just an exchange between, so Preston talks first and then it's Brody. And Preston says, oh yeah, my cousin Zach is having a birthday party. And Brody's like, oh, where at? And Preston says, Angel Grove.
Preston was talking to whom?
Brody.
Brody, okay. Okay, so
Preston is the one saying that he has a cousin in Angel Grove named Zach.
Now, here's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. I would think that there are plenty of Zachs. Like, there's not one person in the entire world named Zach who lives in Angel Grove. Because, hey, we've had another Zach from what's his nuts?
Charge.
Right. So, we plenty of Zachs. Zach is a very common name. It can pop up anywhere, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
Nice.
Can't see you. So then, you know, we're on the Twitters, right? And the bloop pops up with Peter Sudarso. Let's see.
So what the exact timeline of events was, like, we were sort of all talking about it, and I was tweeting at my buddy Steven Zarita, who's probably best known for doing that Dino Mega Charge short. And he was talking about it, and he was like, oh, wow, like, I how could they be cousins? Because, like, our whole discussion was, okay, if it's actual Zach from MMPR, how would he and Preston be cousins? Is it impossible? No. Very unlikely? Yes. Because we were, like, pulling up photos of Zach's parents, and we've already seen Preston's dad in the show, and we're like, what? What's happening? We don't know what Preston's mom looks like. I don't know.
Yeah, so yeah, Steve was reading. He's like, wait, are Preston and Zach really cousins? Like, the Zach or some other Zach from Angel Grove? I feel, in light of the 25th anniversary team-up, that it have come up before about MMPR Zach if it's him, right? And it was side-by-side with, you know, Peter and Walter Jones, right? And then Peter Sedarsa replies to him saying that line wasn't scripted, R-O-F-L. And then there was some back and forth. Okay. And then another person jumped in. Let me see. Cassius.
Well, I should also say he said, because I asked, I'm like, oh, did you improvise that? And he said, yeah, don't think too hard on improv line. Lol, just thought it was in the realm of possibility as a fan.
Right.
So
okay.
That,
yeah.
That was in slight response to the review that I wrote for Den of Geek, which was like 600, 700 words. Not even really about the episode, but just about that line.
Wow. Yeah, well,
and it wasn't just like, oh, let's figure out if they are cousins. It was more like a macro sense of, like, what this says about the franchise and how, like, they're sort of, like, basing, they're just coasting off MMPR anything without any real thought. And, like, this, they totally let this slip through without anything. So it was more about a big macro sense of the franchise and not, like, super specific, like, continuity-y things.
Right. So, like, we're in the chat. We're going back and forth, like, wait, okay, great, sure, Peter, you know, off a cuff or whatever, you know, but, like, what? Like, this is, what? And then...
Because we were like, blaming, like, so many other people. And we were like, mm-hmm. Oh, no, it's this person. Oh, no, it's this person. And then Peter's just like, no, I improvise it. So we're like... Okay, what?
You naive fool.
and then, so we're just like, all right. So, like, what's the deal, though? Like, is Zach's parents, are they still alive? Are they mad? Wait, like, who's the sister to, like, to Preston's mom, right? You know what I'm saying? And, or, like, are they mad with Preston's dad that the mom's gone? Because it's like, what if that was Zach's mom? What if Preston is a Blasian, right? You know what I'm saying? Half black, half Asian. What? That would be awesome. But then, like, the mom's dead, so we never see her, so that's not great.
Yay.
So, like, so, but then,
more dead,
like,
moms.
So, like, are they, is it gonna be awkward at, like, family reunions? Because, like, yo, like, Zach's family is just like, yo, like, looking at Preston's dad, like, what's up? Why she died, though? Like, we like gave her off. Long story short, I was all in my head like, okay, well, you know, it would have been cool, right, if it was like a family reunion and like they all got together, right? And then, like, you know, Zach's side of the family isn't really feeling, you know, Preston's dad, you know what I'm saying? Especially, like, you know, this big time or whatever, you know, has all this money, got all this stuff, whatever, and, you know, probably killed his wife, you know what I'm saying? You know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
All that stuff, right? Get it all into that. But then,
oh boy,
another guy on the, so this Cassius 335 responds. He jumps in the conversation. He says, I'm pretty sure cousin Zach would be Ludi Lin, not Walter Jones. And then Peter replies, that's what I was insinuating.
Oh boy.
So look, Peter is a great guy. Like, yes. Like, this is not like, oh, Peter Sedarsa. No. I'm sure in his head, he's like, oh, this is like a kind of fun idea that our characters could be related. Probably just saw the movie or I'd like had heard about it at the time and knew Ludi Lin was cast. So wouldn't that be fun? And in a fanficky, and that's not a put down on fanfic, in a fanficky way, yeah, sure. Preston and movie Zach hang out. Sure. But But when you think about it.
Yeah.
Like really, really Does think it about it.
Really?
You really don't even have to think that hard, really. Like... It's. I know, it's one of those things where it's like he wants to be nice to the fans, and I'm sure there are plenty of fans out there who are just like, oh, that's cool, and whatever, and then they just move on. That's cool. But as a fan, like, he has to know that stuff like that, like, drives fans crazy when it's like you just throw a reference in for the sake of throwing a reference in that makes literally no sense. In the grand scheme of things.
And listen, you know what? I'm not even mad at him. I'm not, right?
Pay for effort?
He, you know, threw a little reference in. It was ad-libbed, you know, ha ha ha, woo woo woo. You know who should do their job, though? You know who should do their job? The people who approve this. And so, yes, let me carry this off and broadcast. Sure. Why don't you? Because it doesn't make sense. It does not make flipping sense.
Because I can imagine on set, director doesn't know anything about Power Rangers or doesn't even know about the history. Peter does it, and he's like, oh, you know, it's for the fans. And he's like, oh, okay, whatever. But when they got into the editing room and whoever's cutting in or seeing final approval or whatever saw that, someone who's, you know, well, you know, known in the frame or well learn it in the franchise, or even somebody at that time, Saban Brands HQ, should have looked at it and been like, haha, that's funny, take that out.
Or, you know what, if you're filming it, right, off the cuff, whatever, you put time and effort to frame the shot. Like, I don't know how I didn't see it. Okay, so, like, whatever. I don't know how they, you know, it was like a drive-by where they're just walking and talking,
yeah,
right?
Super offhand, yeah.
But, like... Or, you know, if you see his mouth moving saying Zach, right? Let's say, you know, you didn't, right? You could have been like, yo, change that to Adam. Like, somebody on set could have been like, change that to Adam. And it'd be fine!
I could believe someone on set, like, no one on set knows the show that well. Like, to be able to be like, oh, continuity or this person could be related to this person.
Seamus, we're not talking about... You're like Will from Overdrive, and they're not gonna know like the deep cuts of Overdrive. It's mother effing Zach.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that, again, like even it's weird that Peter would do that, because, you know, he's done a lot of great stuff for Hyperforce, where there's a lot of like really cool deep cut references that are very, very well done. Where this is like, again, if somehow it either assumes, one, that the movie verse and Ninja Steel, which is the main universe as confirmed by the 25th anniversary, somehow exist next to each other, or in the MMPR universe, there is another version of Zach who happens to look like Ludi Lin, but is not a Power Ranger and just happens to live in Angel Grove.
Sure.
It's so much, and like, I'm sure if Peter was to talk about it longer, he could come up with like a nice little fan kind of thing. I was like, oh, you know, I imagine this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, that's great. I don't want to have to do that much work to figure out this throwaway line.
Yeah.
This is not like, oh, this is not like an Easter egg or setting up for something deeper that they're going to pay off down the line. No, it's just, yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it.
I mean, I get it. You're on the set. You've been doing this show for 2 years. It's... Listen, it's not great. It's not a great show. It doesn't really, you know, give a crap about continuity or anything on any conceivable level. You've just filmed a really, really garbage team-up anniversary special. So maybe you're sitting there thinking, I want to throw a reference in there. And then you do. You do.
And your brother's coming back in the Christmas episode!
It comes from a good place, I'm sure. I appreciate you wanting to throw the fans a bone.
Like, his heart is in the right place. Like, yes. I'm not gonna sit here and be like, oh,
this what show is making
jerk.
Me cry. I can't take it. This is why we don't talk about this show, like, in, you know, every week. This is why. Listen, like, half of this is entertainment, right? Like, whatever. Yeah. Like, I'm not like literally crying. But the other half of it is, I'm just like, listen, There's, I,
It feels like another example of like the thing we've been talking about this show for the last 8 years when it comes to like the theme song or the way they handed the anniversary special, where it's just like, just do MMPR. Just do it. Do it. Say something to MMPR. Say it right now. Okay, cool. Fans will love it, right? You guys love it? Oh, you don't? Oh, say it again. Say it again. Do MMPR. You know, like just where it's just there's no anything behind it. Like, yes, there are fans out there who will cream their jeans when you say Tommy's name. But like, for most of us, we're like, either just do a nice reference or just don't do it. You could just say Angel Grove. That's all you need to do.
My cousin
That's
in Angel
really
Grove,
it.
Yeah.
I got a cousin in Angel Grove. Done.
Having a birthday. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They said Angel Grove at the beginning of Dino Thunder, and it was like, oh, that's cute. That's right. Cute. And they even had Tommy the whole time.
I know. Yeah. But
like, you know, it's fine. Just those little nuggets where you don't, you know, make Rita into Mystic Mother or things like that. Or, you know, just don't do it. Please don't.
Yeah. Yeah. So, listen, you guys, I know it's... I just want to, like, put forth the fact that in no way, shape, or form am I going to blame, like, how dare Peter say, like, nah, like, whatever. He's just off the cuff. He was just just spitballing. Like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not his job to do some quality control. Not his job.
Yeah, the people in charge, and this is what we've been saying for a while, it's like, the people in charge just saw that and they're like, eh. Like, they didn't think it was a thing.
Sure. That's
like,
cute. It's cap.
They didn't think about it. It's like, oh yeah, the fans will love it. And it's like, some people clearly must, right? Like, I'm sure people out there were like, oh, they said the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But
Pavlovian,
Yeah, but somebody there should know enough about Power Rangers to go, hey, that's not, no. And maybe this is a futile effort for people to worry about continuity or even just evoking something like that in the show. It's like, if you're going to mention something like that, like it should, especially if you're going to mention the name, like it's one thing if it's Angel Grove, if you say an old character's name, you can't just do that.
And if it were to be connected to the, like the thing to me is the movie reference is a little bit worse. Like it's I mean, sure. Does it make more "quote unquote" sense? Because you know, Zach is also an Asian. Sure, but you're out of it. It doesn't go. Like you don't exist yet. Don't exist yet. So.
And the movie's good. Get away from it, Ninja Steel. Get away from it.
So, you know how maybe that's what it was. It was like, oh man, like fudge.
Steal some shine.
We are stealing all of our shine. We need to gain some of that shine back.
Polish our turd.
But you guys didn't know that in the Ludi Lin cut of the version of the movie, there's like, you know, like a 30-minute scene where he goes to, you know, Summer Cove and he hangs out with Preston.
Oh yeah,
you
know, I forgot.
That was on the Walgreens exclusive disc. You didn't get that one, did you?
We didn't get that. Sorry,
didn't get the Walgreens one. No, missed it.
Nah, man, I missed my Circuit City cut. My bad.
your Blockbuster cut.
Yeah, yeah, you know,
I got the special one at Radio Shack. It was awesome.
I missed my Steelbook Tower Records cut. My bad. So we'll
the AM/PM cut. You get that one.
So yeah. Yeah. I again didn't watch the episode, but in our chat, like, Seamus was like, "Wait, what did I say?" He's like, who? Wait, what now? And I'm like, uh-huh. And I had to like deep down, like, all right, what happened? Because there's not many things that just make you pause and be like, all right, you know.
Well, this is a discussion for another day, but that's actually one of two things that made that episode made me pause. But...
Well, yeah. yeah, haven't watched it still, but yeah,
they're coming to the finish line and Ninja Steel is still stepping in it every single
technically episode. Next weekend is the quote-unquote finale.
Well, you gotta wait till the Christmas episode,
right? That's the real finale. That's when we get dinosaurs with stocking caps.
Stupid. so yeah, all right, any other news before we move right along, you guys? Did we catch everything?
No, this is kind of the time of the year where there's not a lot going on because, you know, they're filming the new season and we get like our little leaks.
Wait a minute.
But the current season's winding down. So there's not a lot of cons going on. So it's pretty quiet.
Wait a minute. There is one more thing.
Oh boy. What could it be?
So speaking of MMPR, I got home one day and I saw this big FedEx package, right? And I'm thinking, oh, this must be my review copy of the Power Rangers history situation from
Insight.
Right, editions. Yeah, I'm like, oh, okay, great. Okay, so, you know, I'll open that later. Okay, cool. So then I opened it and I'm like, this doesn't look like whatever. And so it was this big catalog from Prop Store. And it was named like TV Treasures, you know, curated by the Commissar Collection. I'm like, all right. Like, I know I purchased a whole bunch of stuff from Pop Store, you know, because that money that I'm still paying for, because, you know, I had to do that 3-month plan, child, because, you know, anybody go, okay.
Same. I was going to say, you probably hit a certain dollar level, and they're like, send them a catalog.
Pretty much, yeah. The catalog, and by the way, thick catalog, I mean, it's beautiful, and it's like 50 bones! 50! If you wanted to buy it, I'm like, okay. So, yeah, I spent a lot of money, child. You better send me a catalog. So I'm like, wondering why they sent me this catalog. And it's like this one dude who's been collecting like different TV props and sets and costumes and whatever for like the past 30 years. And I'm flipping through them, just like, you know, there was some X-Files things, and there was some, you know, Pee Wee Herman, and
they had Sequest.
Did have Sequest. It did.
Lois and Clark.
It did. And then I'm flipping. I'm just like, hold on. They got Power Rangers. Like, what? Okay. So they had
an elephant.
I care.
I know.
How many pairs of red jeans were available?
None. I was bad. I was like, really? No jeans? No red jeans with blue pockets? Really? Okay. Fine. Let's go. So they had a couple of helmets. They had the Red Ranger and Black Ranger, and I'm just like, you know what? It's odd that I'd rather have what people are making now than like the original, because it looks a little rough. Okay, it looks a little rough. But I guess, you know, 93, 92, they had to like figure out.
And they also said the guy has like carefully restored them over the years, so that might also be why it looks a little weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, and the video that comes with the collection, the guy's like, yeah, like, I've collected stuff for all these years, and I've, like, carefully maintained and restored a lot of them. So, like, maybe that's why, like, the visor on red looks kind of funky and...
Major funky.
So here's the thing. Like, I'm not necessarily a person who's, like, gonna buy a helmet. Like, but they also had, like, some of the original... little outfits, little civilian outfits, right? And okay, so Billy, you know, striped shirt, okay, fine, whatever, t-shirt, that's a thing. You know, Kimberly had a little, one of her little crop tops, okay. Girl, they got to Zach.
His with iconic.
Cross colors shirt, iconic. I was like, oh, snap. And also mad with myself because, like, I was, like, alive and well during this time where they were actually selling the clothes. Like, literally selling the clothes. Like, I could go into the store, buy the clothes.
Call me when they got Zach's Rasta hat. When are we going to have that up for sale in the prop shop?
Yeah, no.
Yes.
That's a no. and then they have Trini, one of Trini's outfits that she wore or whatever. I mean, it's not whatever, but I mean, like, anything with Trini, I'm just like, oh, snap, that's so nice.
I'm glad you didn't mention, like, Jason's outfit at all.
Oh, yeah, because, like, it's a plain red t-shirt. I mean, no, there's one of the cutoff little t-shirt things, sweatshirt looking things that are like,
Is it one? Is it one of the ones that Cardenas got to wear? Those are my favorite.
No, it wasn't that one. But like, it's
swimming in it.
It's one where I'm like, oh, okay, I recognize that. That is something I recognize Jason wearing, you know, on the show. That's a thing. So But yeah, yeah. There. So currently, online bidding is going on now. But this right here is not like, remember, like we had our Power Rangers movie auction, like it was all online and everything, whatever the fuck. But no, y'all. This right here, this is a live auction. So yes, you can do your online bidding now, but the live auction will be happening on December 1st. So like, this is real. Like, this is real auction. Like, there's going to be an auction room. Like, things will, like, they're going to, lot number 47, like, they're going to bring stuff out.
Hold up the paddles.
Yes!
Yes.
It's going to be, like, a real thing. People can call on the phone and put in their bids. Like, it's real, real. Okay? So... I mean, I'm interested. You know,
please buy us Christmas presents.
You're right, sure. Okay. But
like these are not gonna be cheap, by the way. Like, you're not getting your like $100 piece of paper from the movie.
Yeah,
like
no.
What? This is
like the starting bid for the clothes is like $600.
No, it's $300. Well, some of them are $300. No. Some of them are $300,
okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. The ones I looked at were $600. I'm like, what?
They're expected to bring in close to that.
Yeah, 6 to 8 or something like that. But yeah, yes. So yeah. You guys are welcome that we're talking about this. I could have kept this to myself. Could have kept this little trap. I mean, we're in the internet age now. Everybody's going to find out stuff or whatever. But, you know, for people who want to, you know, get a little piece of the action, save you little coins, make sure you tack on a 25% buyer's premium. Okay.
And sales tax.
If you live in California. So just make sure that you, and plus shipping if you can't be there. Just to make sure that you save up your coins. All right.
At this point, like with all like the, you know, the shipping and, you know, like the all this extra fees, you may as well just fly there. Get it.
So I kind of want to do that, though. I'm on the fence. I'm on the fence. Like, I don't know if I want to buy, but I want to be in person to, like...
Just to see.
You know what I mean?
You want to see him wheel about on stage? And yes! Bidding for
and...
Zach's.
Outfit. Shirt. Cross colors. Hey. So, you know.
Oh, boy.
I kind of just want to see. I've never been to an auction. You know, over here in New York, you got your hoity-toity Sotheby's, Christie's, whatever they're called.
Banksy's.
You know? I was going to say, it's going to be just like Banksy. You're going to buy your Jason sweatshirt, and then as soon as they bang that gavel, it just struts itself.
Oh. You see, as soon as you buy it, like the squibs, like they were planted in there the whole time, just go off.
Oh,
of course.
Man.
Yeah. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. So yeah, December 1st. Yeah, so go to propstar.com. You guys can sign up, register, and get your piece of the action. All right, so today, yes. Someone was saying something?
I just said I'm good. I don't need...
It's stupid.
I'm good. So
today, we are going to be talking about... comics, and well, more like comic, right? So we are beyond the grid. We are still beyond the grid. We are still trying to find ourselves.
Can I go back to the grid, please?
And
like a one-way trip back to the grid.
All right, you guys.
Is there a grid that does not involve lots of mascara on every character? That'd be cool. I'd like to go to that place.
All right. First off. Let's start from the very beginning, okay? In the very beginning of this comic, the first little panel, okay? All right? They're surrounded. They fell for the trap, okay? You got these little monster-y-looking, alien-looking dudes.
You mean the Rangers?
Stupid. Coming after them.
The funny thing is that the aliens actually, I'm even making a joke, but the aliens look way better. I feel like the artist actually really excels at that stuff. And if there was a book that was just about aliens and monsters and like creatures posing and stuff like that, this artist would be absolutely the best fit for that.
Even like the some of the like the not so alien aliens, like the more human looking aliens later look fine, because then with their little mascara eyes, you're just like, oh, that's what the aliens
you're
look
stupid
like. that's not a dig, like it generally is a look. And also I think their rangers, like when they're morphed, are fine. It's just the human
character, yeah, the human, rangers, yeah, themselves, yeah. They don't look morphed, like I'm anybody good. And I don't know who's talking and whatever, but we'll get to that. I just want to talk about the first panel, okay? Because, you know, random somebody who I don't know who's speaking is saying, like, you know, said some line. I don't care, right? You know, but they said, we said specifically we were looking for life in the universe, okay? Tanya, though. First, oh. Out the gate. Out the gate. Hello. Answer prayers.
Oh, who made you art monitor?
Oh boy.
Hello.
That is about the one and only time in these last two issues that any of these characters have identified themselves as that specific ranger.
Man, oh, I can't believe, gosh, I missed that. Just looking at it now, she just says,
hello. Answer prayers. Hello. Like it was literally Tanya and Nakia in one. It's great.
Wow. I totally did not read it like that.
Same. But now I see it.
It's amazing. So y'all need to just recognize the beauty. Okay? Just the gems. The gems.
That was such like the a one lucky gem. Thing. That was I do not believe for a second that was intentional.
But you know, it is. Dude, okay.
The
okay.
Whole rest of the issue.
The answered prayers. Like, I mean, they channeled some Nakia, okay? Because, you know, Christian and all and everything. She's talking about Jesus and the, you know, Messiah and all of them things. Okay, so, like, a little bit. I'll give them that. Okay? So, you know, we have this alien dude, right? Talking about Praetor's harvest and, you know, something like that, you know. They were like, kill the loud one and kill the heretic, and you know, I'm just like, all right.
Kill the women.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah. All right then.
So yeah. So it was Kim that was saying all that stuff,
yeah,
in the beginning?
That's where, yeah, the word bubble goes to, yeah.
Girl,
yeah.
I don't know. It could have gone to that other non-void that was next to her. I don't know. This is the problem. This is my issue. The issue is one of them anyway. Is that I didn't know who was talking. Like it's like, I mean, that's like comic number one or 101 rather. Like rule number I confused issue rule number one and yes. Anywho, to know who is talking and. I don't want to like read over something because I'm just like, oh wait, who was that again? Did that person say that? Like it's annoying. It really is annoying.
See, an extension of that is that sometimes you don't know who's talking, but sometimes actually a lot of the comic, there is a word bubble coming out of a character's mouth, but I'm like, they don't talk like that. Or yeah, it's all so like that. Generic that I'm like, this doesn't sound like the character's voice at all. And I'm not saying that in earlier MMPR issues, it's like, oh yeah, I definitely hear, you know, Walter saying this or hearing Austin St. John saying this, right? But everybody sounded different and unique enough that I'm like, okay, you know, they don't all sound like just generic dialogue. Mm-hmm. Here it's like Mike or whatever he says, if I didn't know any better, I think you were trying to be, and I'm like, there's no kind of flair to his, I mean, not to say Mike was like a super developed character or anything, yeah. But.
Kind of lucked into that, but you know. The lack of personality, but yeah, you're right. They're all that was my thing last issue too. It's just like I feel like the writer does not know anything about Power Rangers at all. And I'm not saying you have to be the most versed person in the world, but if you're gonna cherry pick six characters, you might as well do your research on said six characters so that you can make them unique. And here it really doesn't feel like any of these characters, like you could just swap them out with anybody else with the same color and be like, oh yeah, same dialogue, same whatever. It works, it's fine. And that's it.
Yeah, you know, I'm just looking at this first page here, and I mean, I didn't have a problem with what was going on. You know, I didn't have a problem with what was transpiring. It's just that Mike doesn't look like Mike looks like he is 75 trying to dye his hair looking young. Like, I don't know who he is. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, if he wasn't wearing his little outfit thing, I'm just like, oh, okay.
The dark shadows around everybody's face, and I don't just mean the eyeliner, is that, like, there's the panel where Mike's like, rude. I'm like, okay, Mike says that, I guess.
Yeah.
And, like, you can't even see his eyes or anything, or is it like, are his eyes closed?
Closed. Like, punching with like his closed. Eyes closed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's got a clay face. Yeah.
So, yes,
and it's not so much that Mike says that; it's just that this comic says that. Like, really, like, the characters have the personality of the comic, rather than, you know what I mean, like, each individual character having their own personality. It's everybody mm-hmm. essentially speaks with kind of movie speak.
And yeah. which, we lay down the law.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, movie speak, right? Normally, I would be the one who's saying, okay, bring some personality. Be snappy. Be, you know, I'm saying that a lot, actually, especially with some recent Power Rangers on TV, right? I advocate for let's be snappy, let's be a little clever. But don't be uniformly, quote-unquote, clever in the exact same way with every single character, with no difference between any of them. That's when things kind of, you know, it's like, okay, you kind of gave me what I wanted up to the left, but then to the right, you totally left me hanging, you know? It's a weird, everybody has the same.
Yeah, everybody's, voice. Like, everybody's trying to be, well, except for Tanya. I mean, like as if she's taking on this damsel in distress heart of the team, which is fine. But she should be Tanya. She should be Tanya.
That's not fine, actually. Sorry.
No, I mean, this is what I'm saying. Like, I don't mind some, I mean, sure, would I like some dude being, you know, in trouble and then they save him? Sure, whatever. But if you were going to have somebody who needed to be saved for a moment and who was the heart of the team, then fine. However, comma, she has to have her own voice and has to sound like Tanya, and then eventually throughout this comic, you know, evolve out of that, because Tanya was just a regular schmegular girl from Africa and then became into the Power Ranger that we know now. So, you know, now
if she was like, if she like grabbed Mike, she's like, am I really having to save you, fool? Come on.
You know, that would be great. You know, if her hair was drawn differently, that would be great too, because she looks, again, like I've said before, like a white girl who just happens to be a little tan. Sip. So, you know, like, I get it. Like she out of everybody so far has been like, I'm like, ugh, Lord, they
don't
not
like it at all.
Yeah. So and then don't even get me started on I think I am going to be skipping ahead, but like there was a moment where Kim and Heckle are having their little, well, so there's not enough room for the both of us who have indiscriminate backs to, oh my gosh, like, really? Like, we're really having this fourth wall conversation, like, right now in front of our, like, why
if
we...
there was just one of those things,
oh my gosh,
if that hadn't directly followed, like, Tanya and Mike's, like, oh yeah, like, you're really gonna, like, try to, like, put yourself out there, like, trying to martyr yourself, like, they're also having a fourth wall kind of conversation.
Can't stand it.
Yeah, and then like Tanya's really like handsy on Kim, like, oh my gosh, like, thank you so much. You saved him.
Thank you.
Just act like that.
It's so weird that we go from, oh man, you saved him, to at the bottom of the same page having like a deep, like, hey Mike, don't be so reckless. Like, you were trying to save other people. And like, they're trying to make a deep thing about like, oh, Mike and his brother, which could be like giving Mike a character that he never had. But here, it also then brings in the mystery of, he's like, oh, I have a brother, or I had a brother, I don't know. So it's about this whole, where are the other Rangers? What happened after the events of Beyond the, or the
Shattered Grid?
Of Shattered Grid. So, and that's one another problem I have with this comic. I'm fine with mysteries. Like, you don't have to tell me everything up front. But I am legitimately confused about what happened at the end of that big issue and what's happening now. Like, you don't have to tell me everything, but it's so many mysteries that it's actively hampering my enjoyment of a comic because I don't know what's going on.
Same.
Like, and I don't like the way they spread it across so many, like, where it's like, this could work in like a script. Like, if somebody is actually like acting it out, that would be one thing. But to have it like being read, it's very difficult to follow for me, I think.
There are so many two-page spreads where I'm just like, bro, do that twice. I feel good. Like
all those word bubbles are there to try to be like, read this as if they're taking pauses because it makes it more dramatic. Yeah. Like, and I feel like that's just the whole thing with both these issues so far, is that they're trying to thrust importance upon this stuff that isn't earned. Like,
right.
Time and time again, where it's like, you've done nothing to actually just humanize these characters. This whole thing feels like some rushed storyline to be like, oh, hey, you gotta like these characters. All right, guys, you like them all? Oh, here's a new Ranger. Gotta like this character too. All right, we're doing some things. Let's go. All right. You guys ready for MMPR Rangers to come back? Okay, you ready yet? Okay, here's a little bit more. And it's just like too cute for the room, where it's just trying to be something that it's not, where it's like, again, you are two issues into a storyline where like 95% of the characters you've done nothing with in the comic yet. You have to take your time and actually give me these characters little by little in earned moments, instead of these dialogue dumps where you're like, hey, there's a Tanya Mike relationship, let's talk about that. Ooh, there's a Heckle Kim one, let's talk about that one now, guys. Where you spent the entire last issue doing nothing, absolutely nothing. Like, it's just,
and there is
awful flow.
And like, look, I like dialogue. I do. But there are some pages where I'm like, there's the one page where they're having this long conversation about like, oh, the dagger is only a conductor, an artifact from in universe with no morphing grid. It'll stick out like a, I'm like, oh my God. What?
Plot. plot.
Yeah. Like, okay. And then, but even before that, like, Andros is talking to whom? Is he talking to Grace? Who is he talking to? Like, who is he talking? At one point, I'm like, is he talking to who is he talking to? Grace? Like, who?
I don't know.
Grace or Carone? There's nobody else left.
I think he's talking to Carone. I think. But, like, also, like, we've barely, like, I don't know what Carone looks like in this comic.
She looks like Carone. I mean, from
she's a blonde Galaxy girl with a bunch of mascara on. You know how she looks.
Exactly.
And man, like, there are some pages, like, there's the one where we see the spaceship or the Solar Ranger docking with the Amethyst asteroid. Like, that looks great. The colors are nice. It's a cool layout. Again, if this was, like Tristan said earlier, if this was a space comic, this would be awesome.
Yeah.
Sadly, it's like three or four pages that are just nonstop word bubbles. And it's like, oh, here's a nice image that is, you know, a brief momentary respite. You know, and I like those pictures, but yeah, it's like, it's just so like info dump, then a page that only has like three words on it, then info dump, then another page that only has a few words on it, where it's just back and forth and there's just absolutely no flow whatsoever.
And I just have to confess, like, that I don't know how much I really care about this extra ranger character.
Really?
I'm not opposed. Here's the thing. I'm not opposed to having new rangers. Like, that's totally cool. I guess for me, this is like so, like, we just got the concept down of like, here's all these rangers from these different seasons. They're together. They're doing a mission, whatever. And immediately we're jumping into, oh, but here's this new person. So check out this new person. But I don't, it's like a weird, this feels like this is like the second arc instead of the first one, you know?
It seems like we're jumping into something so big and new so quickly, when after we just had a giant arc where, even like, look, I enjoyed Shattered Grid, but I was kind of hoping that after this giant, you know, 40,000 page issue, not that issue was fine, by the way, I'm joking, but it was like 40 pages, right? And I was hoping for, okay, we can take a little bit of a breather, you know, and we have all these new rangers hanging out, and it's interesting that for having all these new Rangers, I guess they're assuming that the fans all know who they are and it's just the fans reading, so they don't need to introduce them at all. On one hand, I'm like, cool, I don't need like a little bio page on everybody. But on the other hand, I'm like, you got to give everybody like a moment. They should have done that in the first issue, right?
But wait a minute. Hold up. So you give moments to MMPR, which everybody knows about in life, but yeah. Then you don't give moments to the deep cuts?
Yeah. And so like we talked about this a little bit last time, and the biggest issue I have is like we just got through 30 issues of Draken. Yes, he wasn't in every issue, but we basically got through 30 issues of Draken. Let's be real. And now it's immediately Solar Ranger. We got the Solar Ranger. Hey guys, every single issue of this Beyond the Grid thing has a cover where it's a close-up of the helmet of one of these six Rangers, and in their visor, it's always the Solar Ranger. And there's the Solar Ranger. And it's like, I get this impression that they really feel like they can't do a compelling comic arc that people would want to see without introducing a new Ranger. Like, oh we can't show Draken right now. We got a Solar Ranger, and this is our new hotness. And like you said, it would have been amazing if they could have done a good 5 or 6 issue arc where it's these guys dealing with their situation and then, you know, something resolves and then, okay, and now the Solar Ranger shows up.
And maybe you like tease out, like you don't like show them, but it's like, oh, like there's something out there, you know, like, so you can tease it. Like, you know, like Drakon didn't show up issue one.
Right.
Yeah. They had the whole thing with the Black Drakon, all that sort of stuff.
And also it helped with Drakon that he was recognizably based on the MMPR Rangers. He was Tommy. We didn't know that at first. Here, this is a character we don't know anything about, which I do not have a problem with. But like, so we get like 4-something pages of Solar Ranger hanging out with like her friend. And like, I did not know what was going on. It's like, oh, you're busting your arms and the Solarix. And also she's like kind of like fritzing out of existence. And again, on paper, like if I was delivering an outline for this, I would be like, oh, this sounds like an interesting idea. But it's just information. And I'm just like, I don't know what's happening.
This feels like the hard sell. That's the thing that I have the biggest issue with is the very first issue of this storyline, we introduce the Solar Ranger. The second issue of the storyline, we have to have her demorph, tell you who she is and all this sort of blah, blah, blah. And no matter what happens in this arc, I'm already getting this impression that it's like we're going to do these 6 issues where we have all these other extra Rangers, but in reality, this whole storyline is about introducing the Solar Ranger. We want to bring in a new Ranger, new way to merchandise that, blah, 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 and then we'll get back to what business as normal. And the other problem is that if we've got, you know, we've got bad art, we've got subpar writing, we've got all this sort of stuff, and if this doesn't go over well, which so far it isn't going over well, I get the impression that Boom's going to be like, oh, well, they just want the MMPR Rangers back and they want to see more Draken. That's the problem. We got to get back to that stuff.
Actual story characters and art that I don't have so many criticisms for. That's what I want.
Exactly. Wait a minute. Hold on, you guys. How y'all going to talk about Irie like that, man? It's my girl, Irie! Okay, that's not how you say her name, but whatever. I didn't mind her at all. In fact, I was like, oh, look, we're gonna like have information or some more information about like some other people who aren't drawn badly. Like, I just didn't mind it at all. I was just like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, you know, we're like in this Remy's Tavern thing and like, oh, okay, like all these different aliens, like we're exploring another world and yada, yada, yada. And it's just like, okay, cool. Like, and they're talking, it's kind of funny, but you know, hey, I'm hanging in there. And I didn't mind. I really didn't mind this part. Like, once we got up to this part, the tavern, and then afterward is where I didn't mind the comic. I think where, to me, it kept my interest. Before, I'm like, which is odd because it was just like, to me, it seems as if they wrote better for people that are completely new and different, and we don't know them. Like, we don't know a lick of them. And they, and for the people that we do know, it's like kind of generic. So, you know,
it seems like they wanted to write something completely different, that it's like, oh, we want to have like this cool arc that has like no Rangers that we know, and it's just the Solar Ranger and how cool she is, which would be weird to do, but okay. But you're, it does feel like, like you guys were saying, the Solar Ranger is more important than these other Rangers that we have. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be strange, because I know that the first issue of this did sell out, like the first Beyond the Great issue did sell out, and they did go to a second printing. So hopefully they at least take that as, oh, people are fine with extra Rangers, or they're fine with these other not MMPR Rangers. But I worry that Boom is just, we got to sell that convention exclusive toy. Mm-hmm. We got to sell those variant covers, so we got to have a new Ranger on all of them. It's like, oh, don't do this. Don't do this.
Yeah. I think what bothers me is just that, yes, like I feel like the creative energy is with this new character, and in a way you could say like, oh, it's done better because the comic feels like it wants to do that rather than the thing that I think
everybody else wants.
Fans would be drawn to, which is, okay, it's Andros, it's Crone, it's you know, like Kim, who, like, actually, like, this version of Kim specifically, like, Cam, it's Tanya, like, that's what I kind of showed up for. I mean, yes, I was interested in the other, the New Ranger, too, but it was like,
how are you people
okay, how do I say this? Yeah. How do I say this? Because I don't want to make it seem like you can't introduce new things. I want new things. I want to see new things. I really do. But doing it this way feels like kind of the sort of fan fiction that even many fan fiction readers would avoid, because it's like, here's my new character, you know, like
they're the center of the universe,
right? And all of the others are going to respond to them like, oh, we have to pay attention to this one now.
I think the biggest flaw is you have a cool premise, which is here are six Rangers from a bunch of different seasons who have pretty much never interacted with each other in a big, meaningful way. You know what I mean? Wouldn't it be interesting if Tanya was like, hey, I heard about you. You're Kimberly. Like, we hung out that one time in the Turbo Megazord where you hugged Jason. Like,
yeah.
Remember when that happened? I remember it really clearly. So that's like such a cool idea to have all these different Rangers interact, because during Shattered Grid, you had some like, oh, this Ranger's like hanging out with this Ranger and they have a little dialogue, but there actually wasn't that much of it. So, and it was more like big battle scenes. Here would have been much more personal. Like, you have Cam talking to Andros and like, how do they play off each other? How do they play off each other? So that could have been the central premise of, we throw them into this weird situation and see them play off each other. That, but the problem is now we have two big things going on. We have the idea that you throw six Rangers together, and we have the Solar Ranger story. When you try to have both of them, it becomes overcrowded and it does not work.
And they're competing with one another, and yes. I just don't know that.
Well, it's like how we talked about during all of Shattered Grid. Like, one of the things that everybody loved was, despite all of the chaos, we got this amazing, like, Jason and Lauren thing developing. And when we saw the concept of this like Beyond the Grid, we're like, wow, we can have something like that again, but with, like, you know, six Rangers instead of just two. That'd be amazing. We get to see all these new relationships. I showed up for Power Rangers issue 32. I did not show up for Solar Ranger issue 2. And that's what I got.
Yeah. And it almost, I don't want to say it doesn't matter if she's a good character or if she, because it does. It helps. It helps when you're good. It's just, I guess I wanted the ones that were advertised as being like, okay, we're going to bring these people together. And you just proved that you could do interesting things with that, bringing characters together that don't get a lot of screen time, you know, in the show or whatever. I don't want to feel like I'm being tugged in two different directions at the same time.
It was as if they didn't believe in their own premise.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is not a knock on the writer or anything like that. This is just a theory that perhaps the writer was not that well versed in Power Rangers and was not given enough direction by the people who do the franchise, because, you know, these are not the big A-lister characters, you know, like nobody's going to say Mike is an A-lister. He's not even a B or C-lister, let's be real. So there was probably not enough direction. So it's like, oh, well, I can create a new character, which I'm sure was a you know, a direction. So I can infuse the Solar Ranger and her friend with like a bunch of interesting characteristics and all that sort of stuff. And I'm more comfortable with that than having to learn about six random characters that would take too much research to really get to know. Because again, I'm not going to say every writer who comes into Power Rangers must watch all 800 plus episodes.
No, yeah, but you're right. When it's your own character, you can't get it wrong.
Exactly. You can't.
So, yeah, I would, I mean, I would focus on that if I was in the same situation with a franchise that I didn't know jack about.
I guess I would just, maybe, I don't know. I guess I would have the savvy to know that a lot of fans don't really want that, and that you have to kind of ease in the new stuff. Even if that's where your energy is, you got to ease that stuff in. Like, you can't just be like, oh, here's my new thing. That's fan fiction. That's
and again,
not so great.
Dracon works because they took time to set it up, and he was related to a character we already knew.
Mm-hmm. True.
He was literally character that we...
Yeah.
...was, like, the most popular character. It's hard to compare. Like, okay, here's my thing that I will say and I will defend. Right. And, you know, because I wasn't a really big fan of the first Beyond the Grid thing, I was like, oh, Lord Jesus. But I did see some improvement here, regardless of how she did it, regardless of what shortcut she may have had in terms of this new character and showed her, you know, show how she could actually write. Fine. So but I did see an improvement and I didn't mind reading like about half of it. So It's a little unfair because the Higgins was like giving, hey, you get MMPR. You know what you get? You get, what you wanted to pitch? You wanted to kill Tommy. Oh, okay, sure, great, awesome. You get to have big kahuna. You get to have all of this at your disposal. Awesome. All right. And I'm not saying that it is hard to mess up, because clearly we've had the Justice League crossover.
And Pink.
Okay?
Oh boy.
And we've had Pink. So I'm not saying it's hard to... Nothing. However, right? He had a lot at his disposal, and we still don't know how many issues did that Marguerite has. We don't know. Crap, she could only just have six. And she's just...
That's what I'm betting on. Yeah,
you know?
I absolutely would bet the house that it's only six.
So now we're coming to this, and they have put so much new... Like, I want to say new characters, but you know what I mean. Like, there's different characters that we haven't seen in a minute. Put it into this new one. And they're like, by the way, you know what? You should make a new character, because that's how we bring in the monies.
If this is a direction from on high, where it's like, you have six issues, you have these six characters, and you have to introduce a new character, that is incredibly difficult. It's like, oh yeah, do this big arc that has to also have this big mystery in it. So if I'm a writer coming in and you already have like three giant temples that you must include in your six issue story, that's tough. And I'm sure there's a big thing of make everybody like the Solar Ranger, so they gotta have a lot of screen time or panel time, whatever. That's tough. So I'm not going to instantly, because, you know, I'm sure some people be like, oh, Marguerite's not that good. I am not going to say that, because I understand how this works. And I understand that there could be a lot of restrictions involved. But somewhere along the line, there are decisions made that made this not great. I don't want to blame anybody.
And here's the thing, I don't want to just put it solely on the writer. I don't. Right. Because I just don't think that it's a fair comparison, because she wasn't given... Let me tell you something. Now, if she was given, like, yo, you can write Zio, then we have a comparison to make. Do you see what I'm saying? Nah, but, like, come on, man. Like, and to me, I'm just like, I don't want to say that you guys are wrong or what have you, because, yes, if you're just reading it face value, I'm just like, yeah, there are things that are just not really gelling and not really what I was looking forward to. Trying to like kind of look at the behind the scenes stuff that may be happening, and we really don't know, but that may be happening. I'm just like, crap, you know, like, like, I don't think she's getting many issues. And that's why a whole bunch of info dumps is happening in every single issue. So, I don't know how far they've gone into, like, showing covers of Beyond the Grid. Like, how far they've gone?
I think they've done up to 35.
Yeah,
that was the Heckle cover.
Yeah, they just posted that.
Okay.
And we saw that at the convention.
And we started at 31. So, yeah, if they stop promoting at 36, you know why.
You know, also, I got to say, to say something good, I really liked the art of Magnet Offender and Tanya morphed together on that one page. Like that, yeah. Like cool power pose. Yes. I thought that was great.
They got the details right. Yeah, it looked fine.
You know, and it's like, and also, see, this is the other thing, too. Is not only do we have six characters, but we also have Heckle, who's functionally a different character now, which is fine, mm-hmm. but he's like, he's a whole new version of Heckle. And I'm sure we're going to get, yeah, we are going to get that issue of
yeah.
what happened to him after the end of Dino Charge and da da da. But we're also having to get to know Heckle again, which is tough. This is a very hard story to, you know, get your head around.
And then we have to deal with the Crimson Raiders.
Yeah. And like, not to jump ahead or whatever, but we're kind of going all over the place. The end of the comic, the to be continued, is, oh, here's a villain. Cool.
It's the Praetor. He's coming.
Yep, and he's got a human face, so I'm sure he's somebody we know.
You think it's a human face? Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Like,
stupid.
Well, I mean, human by this artist standards.
This is true.
It's a very typical kind of last page. It's like, oh, here's the villain, full page.
Yep, and it looks like he's talking to Palpatine and he's ready to go.
Stupid.
Yes.
He's got some dragon decorations and some green. What's going on?
Don't do it.
Now, to be fair, there are other people. Like, he's got, like, you know, he's got, like, the black and green shawl. Maybe that's a little Ecliptor thing. You don't know.
It is very Ecliptory.
Well, he has all of Tommy's Ranger colors.
Every green. Single one.
No.
Every no. single one. Yeah,
he's got long white hair. No. He's got long white hair. He's got a diamond on
his
chest.
Every... single one. Oh, no.
It nope.
Like the little thing that looks like a dragon.
Yep. This is ancient evil Tommy.
And if you look at his chest, he's got like a diamond on it.
Yes.
We said that.
And a lightning bolt.
Okay. Oh my god.
Oh yeah, like a mini lightning bolt. That's like a
oh
triangle,
my
right?
Gosh. Sure. No! How are we doing this right now?
I know, I didn't even put it together.
Yeah, you can deny it until just now. I was not that involved when I was first reading it.
Well, I mean, I don't know if that's actually good.
But it's I mean, no, they picked four very specific colors.
Very specific.
It's not Dracon though. It's his cousin.
Oh.
Cousin, Angel
oh my gosh, oh, I was enjoying, I was gonna be like, oh, that last one, I wonder who that is, I'm gonna be, oh yeah. My gosh, I'm looking for, and then now we, oh.
Yep, Cousin Zakon is here.
Cousin Zakon! Zakon! Oh, <my God. laughs> oh, title.
I was about to say, Cousin Zakon. It's... Look, I do feel bad for dunking on it so much, right? And I'm not trying to be like, oh, worst issue of all time. It's just like a very confused issue, doesn't really know where it's going. I do hope that like they get a little time to like, okay, let's pick one thing to focus on this issue. One character this, one character that, or whatever else. Not just this all over the place. It's like a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I'm like, no, pick something and focus on it.
Oh, wow.
It just doesn't have time for that. It's just going to sort of randomly stop two characters in a hallway to have, you know, a very, everybody's like weirdly open bookish of like just kind of explaining their own stuff, personal stuff, when it's just them and some other person.
Well, I mean, if your whole ship has been drained of its energy and you don't know if your home... your loved ones back home are alive, yeah, know, I think you'll be a little open bookish, just a smidge, just a tad. I guess, from
like a viewer's perspective or a reader's perspective, I'd rather see a flashback or something than just have someone just openly be like, yeah, I'm the guy who sacrifices, and I know that you're the girl.
A little more show than tell? That's what you mean? A little more show than tell.
You could just be like, yeah, my brother, and you just see, like, Mike!
Stupid.
And then, I mean, literally, you see the Mike scene, and then he's just like, and then he sort of looks away, and she's like, hey, I've lost people too. Like, she could be like, yeah, I've lost people too, and she remembers, like, losing her parents, right? Because that was the thing that happened to her. She did find them again, but, you know, still. So...
Mike's you could do dramatic. Things that
visually convey it while the characters don't have to tell their whole life story. Like, Cam should have just walked into the scene and been like, hey, you know, my mom died.
Hey, my dad's a hamster.
It's so weird. And like, you could even, like, build it into the thing. Because, like, in Mike's case, he, like, fell from a cliff thing, right? So maybe in this, you could have Mike trying to, if Mike has to save Tanya, maybe Tanya's on a cliff. And he's, like, save, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it, like, reminds him of something. I don't know. There's just a million ways that you can, like, there's plenty of ways that you can, like, focus on the characters and without them just being like, here's my backstory because, I don't know, we have a couple pages. You know, like, I don't know. In the midst of this other giant thing, I don't know.
Like, all right.
I'm afraid to roll my eyes when Mike's like, I've been dead before. Shut up. No, you haven't. You're a liar. You need to stop. It's just, I don't know.
No, but wasn't it that he, like, fell off the cliff and then
threw his sword out and caught him?
Yeah, Magna Defender, like, took over his body.
Yeah, he didn't die. He just fell and got caught.
He died on the inside.
He was just like dead by everybody else.
You could tell he was dead. That's why he was able to breathe in space.
So...
He's like, yeah, I died, and I kept hearing this guy say, Zika!
I don't want to end off the conversation without actually talking about what happened and what the big catalyst and what's going on in the story. Yeah. You know?
Write it down.
So, the reason why the Rangers were so confused about where is this other Ranger coming from, if she's not connected to the grid or whatever, blah, 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 blah. She has this Solarix
thing. Solarix.
Solarix? Solarix situation?
Solarix?
That she has been carrying around with her and I guess is giving her her solar power.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So she is traveling all around. She stops by her little friend. And when the Rangers follow her there, find her there, and they morph with the very little energy that they have, but they do morph. What's her full name? Elarian. They call her Ari. Whatever. She gets scared all of a sudden. She's like, whoa. Yo, that's a lot of energy up in one place. Like, you can't be, like, I need to go. So, that's when these Crimson Raiders come to town, tearing up the place, you know, trying to find this Solarix. Was it a crystal or a stone? What is it? Fudge.
It's the dagger. That's what I thought.
I thought the dagger was separate from the Solarix situation. But there were two different things.
I thought that's why she stole it.
So she is getting scared because these raiders are coming for her, you know, but they team up, I guess, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So they have to team up and beat these dudes or whatever. And they think they scared these dudes away. But one of them dudes is like, what did he do? He put this, he looks like he like breathed some foolishness on her ship. And so that he can like track her or whatever. And they think like, all right, we win, we're done, we're good. And Ari's like, yeah, so So I think I'm gonna go. Like, no, wait, no. Like, we need this back because you took all our energy from our ship. So you know, there's like six of us. What are you? She was like, fine. You, if you need to kill me, then do so. Oh my goodness, I'm like mad dramatic. We're like, nah, we don't have to kill you. Just, you know, give us back the thing so we can, you know, our ship, our thing, whatever. She's like, you know what? I don't like that idea either. So I'm gone. I'm out. So, homegirl, once you think like, all right, and maybe she'll join the team. She's like, nah, I'm not. Which, again, you have to, you know, extend the story. You can't, they can't be all kumbaya and everything. So, but how did she not see like this big old mushy guy on her ship? I don't understand. It was like a big old yellow mushy guy up on there. And she's just like, no, I'm good. I'm out. You don't expect nothing. You just like, you just running from people who just said they're not going to kill you. So, but you know. And then that's when we see the end where you have
Zach on.
Lord. Tommy Teen on his throne. I personally, like I said, before we got to the end and we're pretty much guessing who this might be, I was looking forward. I was like, okay, it's picking up some steam. Maybe, and then we see the foreshadowing of like, they're going to get into some backstories of some of the characters that we do know. So, you know, like, I was looking forward to this improving, right? And then the last picture we kind of,
you took a closer look at.
A little bit. So, I don't know. I again, the story itself, I am intrigued. I wish that the characters that we know were better written.
So, on paper, the story is fine. I think the execution is where it's the issue. Like the idea on paper, like the one page synopsis, fine. But if you don't have a lot of character stuff going on, it's not that engaging.
Yeah, it's basically lost in anti-space with this random collection of Rangers trying to figure out what to do and how to get out of it. That's what I want for the most part. A lot of other stuff kind of comes in and, I don't know, complicates it. And it's maybe a little less fun. I do want to know what happens next. And I definitely want to see how long we're on this particular ride. So I'm in for the next ones.
It hasn't fully offended me yet. It really hasn't. Like, I...
High praise.
I haven't... it hasn't done pink to me, so...
Oh, it hasn't pinked?
No. No.
Don't ever go
it's,
full pink.
I think its greatest crime is that it's confusing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's not out-and-out offensive. Like, I mean, look, it's just a comic, right? Pink was like, what's happening? Like, what? This is garbage.
Well, good Lord, this it's is confusing just like, to us. Imagine what it is to somebody who's just like a casual Power Rangers fan. It's like, oh, there's a Power Ranger comic. I'll pick this up and see what it's about.
Maybe, honestly, that might be better, though. Because they might be like, oh, I must not know something. You know what I mean?
right, oh, yeah.
Ignorance is bliss in this case, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, man, this must be over my head, man. This is so deep, yo. Like, I don't know, man.
Son and Mike must love each other. Must be from the show.
Let's be for the show. So, yeah.
I can't wait to see the season where Tanya and Mike team up.
Yep. Oh, man. Oh, thank God we still have the New Adventures of Blue Centurion and Ninja to cleanse our palate with goodness.
I have not even. So, anyway. Still
I like not it. It's reading. Fun.
I love it. I really enjoy it. It's two pages. It's fun.
It's also on the not offensive list.
Come on. You get to see Red Battlezord fight Robo Racer and Ninja.
It's the best of the backup stories by far.
Yeah, I would give you that. Yes. I would give you that.
like, even if that doesn't mean much, considering that the other backup stories, like, look, I found them perfectly fine, but they weren't amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, it is the best one.
These are the most fun, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, and I love just like the silly stringy art style to it. It works really well with the story. Fun.
Yeah. I don't read them, so just
I've said many times that I'd rather just have two extra pages for the main thing, but if you have to do like a backup thing, you absolutely have to, then this is definitely preferred from previous versions of it. So
gotcha. All right, well, guys, I think we're done for the evening. I just gotta make sure that I respond to this email about this. I got this email about a family reunion of some sort,
in Angel Grove.
I don't know. I didn't know I was a tailor. I just found out.
Oh, so
I gotta maybe respond to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I see what the tea's gonna be. You know, I don't know what new cousins I'm gonna get today. Ooh.
You gotta say hi to cousin Zach on for me. Great, great guy.
Mm-hmm. I wish we didn't put that together.
It makes it work. It does. Oh God.